This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon as we cover a lot of different things around Douglas County. Want to get an update on the Ford Family Foundation. Kara Carlisle, the president and CEO, thanks for coming in.
Hi, good to see you again, Kyle.
Yeah, it has been a while, and I know a lot is going on always at the Ford Family Foundation. One of the things about the foundation, not everybody realizes, you've got the headquarters in Roseburg, a lot of people see that, but you've got an office in Eugene, and then you've got staff other places, too.
Yeah, about eight staff all over the state and one in Siskiyou County.
So what's new going on?
Well, for those of you who are tracking or not tracking, we just announced a new mission statement just last week that we've refreshed. So do you want to hear it?
Sure. And I would say at the front end, some people go, well, you know, mission statement. I want to ask you, first of all, why is it important for an organization like yours to have a mission statement? Because a lot of people kind of don't.
Well, so one of the things that it is important for us to do as a team, and we're a much larger team than when we first started out, is to say, what are we all aiming for? Like, what is the North Star that brings us together that is bigger than any one of us? Because I will tell you, you know this very well, there are so many different opportunities and challenges that our kids and communities face that we really can't make our way out of any of these challenges. We've got to make some choices to say, where can we have an impact that we think we can make a contribution, along with all kinds of other actors in this system, to make lives better for kids and communities stronger.
So what went into looking at the mission statement and revamping?
So we really looked at the articles of incorporation and donor intent. We did a lot of talking. I actually talked in person with three of the founding board members to tell stories who knew Kenneth and Hallie Ford. We looked at our community. We looked at where the strengths are. We looked at who we know. We looked at the relationships. We looked at what we've learned. And we tried to understand what are we uniquely positioned to do, given our history, given our partnerships, given what we were given by the founders. And we said, okay, so what do we think we could do that would add value?
So what did you come up with for the new mission statement?
So here it is. Rooted in rural, we relentlessly pursue happy, healthy lives for kids. The future depends on it.
It's interesting that the focus really is kids in the future.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, but I will slow us down and say rooted in rural. When a leader comes in, oftentimes people wonder, you know, is a leader going to shift the geography, et cetera, et cetera? I'm here as a steward to really support the founding donor intent and also to partner with a fantastic board and staff and community. And so rooted in rural really reaffirms that we are deeply committed to rural communities and people. And rural, I would say, is changing. As you all know, we live here. And so trying to understand the complexities of rural so that we are not left behind and we can also lead. And there's so much leadership across rural, both in Douglas County, but certainly statewide. And then relentlessly pursuing happy, healthy lives for kids. Who doesn't want that, right? And then the last one is the future depends on it. Our shared future, no matter where you live, no matter who you are, depends on us being able to support kids.
And do you see any, taking this statement, do you see any shifts in what you're going to be doing in the near future?
Yeah, so a lot of things will stay the same because we think they're really important. Scholarships, the Select Books program, responsive open grants. But what we are now ready to do, and communities have asked us to do it, is to step into bigger conversations around systems. Like, what are the conditions? What is the soil? And how do you enrich that here in this state for growing strong families, strong children, strong futures?
And how long a process was this in putting this new mission statement together?
We got the mission statement. Our board is fantastic, and we came to that with a group of staff and board members about a year ago. We waited a little bit to make sure that we were ready to say more than just a mission statement, but it was a pretty good process, pretty in-depth, and a really good one. So you'll see relentlessly means we are wanting to take action. We're not going to be passive, and we want to stay very focused on creating conditions for kids and families and communities.
Well, and really, not to have like an English dissection class here, but when you say relentlessly, that really does say something, because a lot of times people or organizations might want to say they would like to pursue happy, healthy lives for kids, but maybe they're not relentless about it, and the outcome is probably a lot different.
Yeah, I think all of us have to have a really strong, singular focus to be courageous, to say the hard things, to wrestle with challenges both among our community and our staff about what is it going to take to produce better outcomes. And those are hard. And so the relentlessly is our own, my own meditation to say there's an urgency that these kids are growing up and we need to do better.
What did you think now is the time for a new strategy?
Well, you know, when a new leader comes in, usually there's an opportunity to take stock as an outside observer to say, what have we done really well and what might we be able to do at this moment? And so I think I'm building on the legacies of two previous presidents that contributed different things. And now it's time to say, okay, let's look and see where we are now and what we could do. And feels like the right time, and the world continues to change. And people are very aware of that, and they want to be part of the solution.
Now, how recent did this get unveiled?
Last week.
Well, this
or
is...
no, 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks.
2 weeks ago. So as you began to share it with the staff, what was kind of the response?
They were excited to share the mission, very excited, because we all believe in our children, and we believe that we can do more, and we're ready.
And by the way, speaking of staff, how many staff do you have these days?
We have close to 60.
And what kinds of things are they involved in doing to make this happen?
So we are adding policy more explicitly. We've done a lot of work on policy, small p and big p, to try to bring real voices to different tables to say, yeah, that's a great idea, but that's not going to work here. Let me help you understand how that would roll out in Douglas County or in Yoncalla, et cetera. But we're going to try to bolster that. We've also hired a director of communications this last year to help us tell stories that rural people and communities can tell about themselves, so that we complicate a narrative that oftentimes reduces any community to something that is just not accurate. We're a complex, diverse community of rural people, and we have a lot of talent here, and oftentimes those stories don't penetrate other markets, other places.
Now, let's back up a couple of steps. I think this is the second time I've talked to you.
It is.
And how long have you been here?
Just over 2 years.
So, and you came from?
Actually, Minneapolis.
So, slightly different than Roseburg.
A little, yeah.
Big city versus small town. What was your background before Minneapolis, though?
Before that, I was working in New Mexico and living in Southwest Michigan, in a little township of about 10,000 people. And then before that, L.A. And then before that, my childhood was in rural Indiana, which is where I was raised, and the people whom I love and who taught me the complexity and the genius of rural.
So you've really had a mix of rural and urban, very small areas, very large areas. How do you think that shaped some of your thinking to help lead this organization?
I was raised by a very small community of 500 people. I mean, Roseburg is a metropolis compared to where I grew up. My mother went to school with 21 people in her high school graduating class. My dad was a K-12 teacher. The way that we understand ourselves in this country is so deeply shaped by rural people, and those are the people who raised me, and I bring that into every room I'm in, and I remind people, whether you're rural or I'm in an urban setting, that creativity, innovation, values, community, all of those live everywhere. And so I try to bring the best of all of us, myself included, to the table to help make the world better.
Do you feel like there's times when people come from a big city to a rural area and they try to bring everything they like from the big city with them and it doesn't always work?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge for me that I see and I all the time is that you have to actually be in deep relationship you have to know people and not just talk about people. You just have to sit with people and you have to love one another. I really believe philanthropy at its core is love. And if you can get people, it usually takes about an hour to break through all the armor that people have and the differences to get to the essence of who we are. But I find a lot of commonality once you get there.
All right, we're going to take a break more. When we come back, Kara Carlisle, President and CEO of the Ford Family Foundation. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, we are live at the Sportsman's and Outdoor Recreation Show 30th annual event at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. Kara Carlisle, President and CEO of the Ford Family Foundation, been here a couple of years working with an organization that began what year?
I think 1937 is when the company started, and so I think about that as the start. And in the 50s, they set up the first foundation, and then it moved into its current form in the late 90s.
Wow. And obviously, you know, I heard a story from Norm Smith years ago about him and a desk. And that was that was it at the very beginning. And it's really come a long ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got a team of folks who do all kinds of things, and the endowment has grown. And so, and we've learned a lot, actually a lot from folks here in Douglas County and across the state. And so we keep trying to make a bigger difference with what we have, and you grow, you know, to adapt and try to respond to what communities are asking for.
What do you think is unique about having a foundation that's really is focused on rural? It seems like that's probably somewhat unique.
Yeah, we're one of the largest rural foundations in the country that focuses explicitly on rural, and especially with the long history that we have. I think that the two things that really drew me here, besides wanting to come back, and this is just a beautiful place to be, we love living here. One is that there's a pragmatism that goes with rural folk. We just want to solve problems and get stuff done. You know, we really want to try to make a difference and come together and do that. So I'm really drawn to that. And the other one is the value of relationships and how relationships can unlock creativity and help you to create something together. And so that's harder to do when you have a lot of people in a big crowded space. I find people here oftentimes much more ready to look beyond themselves for something bigger, beyond self-interest. I find that to be the case almost everywhere I go in rural Oregon.
And one of the aspects about being in a rural area, and I imagine this maybe happens to you some, is it versus a big city. I mean, I lived in Portland for a decade, is you interact with people, but then they pop up in another part of your life. You know, and if you're in a big city, you interact with somebody because you do this job and they do that job, and that's the only time you're ever going to see them. But down here, you know, the person that you are interacting with, maybe you're working on a project with the foundation and involves education or something, that same person may be refereeing a kid's ball game that weekend.
That is absolutely true. That's both a joy of rural, but also a vulnerability sometimes. If you over-rely on five or six people in a town to know a lot of things, if that one person leaves, five different systems or organizations may falter. So that's one of the things I'm excited about for this, for the new strategy and mission, is that I'm meeting people all different ages and backgrounds all over this state that say, I want to be part of the solutions. I want to be part of shaping the future. And so we get to meet these really wonderful humans and support them so that we can know a lot more together.
How's your perception of the Umpqua Valley? And of course, your work goes all the way into Siskiyou County as well. How's your perception of this area changed since you've gotten here?
You know, I've had a greater appreciation both for the real unique assets of this region. You know, I'm sure that you've had Rachel on at UCC and others, and just extraordinary work happening here in Douglas County and how unique that is and how it is actually a leader across the state. And sometimes you don't realize how unique it is if you're living here. But we've got extraordinary leadership here in town. But I also noticed, and you had our colleagues here a while ago on data, that economically the southern region of this state continues to drag behind other places. And so we're trying to figure out, some of that, of course, is timber, but other parts of the state that had timber as their primary economy have also been able to progress in different directions. And so we're trying to figure out, notice that, but also try to figure out how can we seed additional new ideas here to create stronger economies for families and communities, really for children to have a better future.
And even the geography of the Umpqua Valley could be a challenge. I mean, some people are still struggling with what most of us take for granted in terms of things like Wi-Fi and all of that. That's not always a given around Douglas County.
Yeah, I think about that in terms of education, and also I'm sure most of your listeners know, but Roseburg, we have a 5-day school day, but you don't if you're in smaller districts. And so transportation is an issue, access to internet is an issue. So I think those are things to pay attention to, because our data right now on literacy for kids is really troubling all over the state. And so what do we as adults need to do to help really make conditions better for kids? That's a driving question that we hold at the foundation.
And how much of your work also involves working directly, not just with the parents or the kids trying to help them, but with the educators as well?
So we are focused more and more on the first 5 years of a child's life, because we know that if you are not arriving to school ready to learn, it's going to take a long time for you to catch up. And if you can't read by the time you're in third grade, you can't learn past that. And so have you heard the phrase, you learn to read, and then third grade, you read to learn? And so we know, and there's a ton of evidence for this, if a child doesn't get the supports they need and the family doesn't get the support they need, a child doesn't start school ready to be in the classroom, to be able to pay attention, to be able to engage socially with others, to be emotionally supported enough and strong enough to be able to focus on learning, because other needs have not been met. And so we're trying to strengthen that so that we can have families and children ready when they step into school.
Along with this new mission statement, are there other newer things happening with the foundation?
You know, we are, and I'd love to hear people share ideas with us. We are trying to think about this next generation of leadership. We probably talked about this last time because I've been thinking about it demographically as people continue to experience changes in governance, changes in leaders on their boards. Who are the leaders and what skills and networks and supports do they need to be able to lead organizations and school districts that are going to help serve us over the long term? So this is a moment where we have an opportunity as a foundation to help to knit together and strengthen folks who say, hey, I'm raising my hand. I want to be part of something bigger. I don't exactly know where, because we need anybody who has that instinct to be able to find a pathway into contributing to lead an organization or to be a good business owner or to contribute somehow. We are at that moment where if we're not careful, we're not going to have the leadership that we need in different places in our community to thrive.
And as much as I hate to bring the pandemic up in a lot of ways, during that time, you had a couple of years or so where people really pulled back for a variety of reasons. And folks at nonprofit organizations continue to tell me, even recently, that it's hard to get enough volunteers. Some people kind of switched into doing other activities, being involved in other things. And volunteering is a harder ask right now still.
Yeah, we are fighting that. I think isolation, and even with online school, and some of that's practical, you know, but we do have data that shows people are less and less engaged in civic activity in some cases. And so I know their efforts here in Douglas County for us to be out engaging in real life with real people. And if you do that, I think a lot of the stresses that people feel or the isolation is overcome by looking somebody in the eye, asking them how they're doing, hearing what they care about, and making those connections, which I think are a fundamental part of building a civic society that's really able to take care of our kids and to think about the future.
Got a minute or so left. What are kind of the new things, or not new things, but things that are ahead for the next few months for the foundation?
We're going to continue to think about how we, as a foundation, use our voice to make connections between people who have great ideas in rural and people who hold different kinds of power. And so we are looking at that, whether it's local policy, state policy, research. We are trying to figure out how we can help strengthen everybody to think about our future together, particularly for kids. So we're going to be wrestling with that, and your ideas are always welcome. Stop by, say you heard me on the radio with Kyle, and we'll give you a cup of coffee or a soda, and we'll hear your ideas.
Kara Carlisle, President and CEO of the Ford Family Foundation, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.